Good morning once again. Welcome to the Neisher and Space Measures Program Learning. Rabbi Sachs will be here, God willing, on September 26th. That's the Sunday right after Yom Kippur. Rabbi Sachs will not be here next Sunday, which is Tzom Gedalia, but he'll be here the following Sunday, the day after Yom Kippur, right before Sukkot. Rabbi Sachs' topic will be related to Sukkot. In terms of CDs, if you've ordered CDs, please find them in the Beis Medrash on the windowsill. If anybody is interested in purchasing a CD case, we have them made up with Sachs' name on it. It holds 24 CDs. I know people are complaining they have put them in shoeboxes all over the place. They're available for $10. If you want Rav Sachs' autograph, that's fine. Because God Rav Sachs. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You threw me with the autographs. This morning's share is being sponsored by Ilana and Shimi Tenenbaum in memory of Reb Shmuel Ben Sion Ben Menachem Manis, as well as by Gene and Aaron Rothstein in memory of Chaim Fischel Ben Harav Yosef HaKohen Zal. Because God Rav Sachs.
In the last year, whose theme was the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, I emphasized two different elements of this mitzvah. One is, as the Torah tells us, Yom Tshuva Lachem, and the second is the concept of Zichron Tshuva. On the one hand, we're obligated to sound the shofar, and that, of course, is found in Parshas Pinchas. The Kedushas Hayom of Yom Ha'Noraim are characterized as being Yom Tshuva. But yet, the Torah tells us Zichron Tshuva as well. It's important that the shofar create and result in a certain remembrance. Not enough simply to sound the shofar, but rather to internalize the message of Tkiah Shofar. And even though there are many indications that both elements are true, the mitzvah, the Rambam writes, is one of Shmias HaKol, hearing the sound of the shofar. But certainly we wouldn't characterize sounding the shofar, the Tkiah, merely as a Hechsher mitzvah, but rather much more than that. That is considered to be the act, the Maisa HaMitzvah. In this survey, the Rav explained as a classic example of a distinction between Maisa HaMitzvah, Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Maisa HaMitzvah is the sounding of the shofar, but rather its fulfillment is not merely to blow shofar, but rather to internalize the lessons of the tkios themselves. This distinction when it comes to the mitzvah shofar, that on the one hand we sound the shofar, but as the Rambam writes, that remez yeshbo ur yishenim yishenastem, a person has to internalize the message, is an appropriate backdrop for the mitzvah of tshuva as well. The Torah tells us, as we learned in this past Shabbos, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, we're obligated to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfillment of this theme of tshuva. But to what extent is tshuva considered to be a mitzvah? A privilege? Certainly true. A schus of tshuva. Imagine a person can commit a chait, and yet somehow that retroactively, that act can be undone. That certainly is a great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, grants us, the privilege of tshuva. Imagine, as all of you know in the business world, a person makes an investment that goes sour, and they turn to you and tell you, no problem, if you have sincere charata, and there is hakara sechet, you'll recognize that this wasn't a good deal. And you sincerely have remorse that you invested such a large amount of money, so no problem. Zadonos, Nasek, Zechuyos. Who would grant you such a deal in the business world? But this is Kadosh Baruch Hu's gift. A person can commit an Avera, and yet, with mir hakara sechet, charata, and kabbalah, as Rish Lakish says at times, Zadonos, Nasek, Zechuyos. That Avera is transformed into a mitzvah. I've often commented that perhaps this is the essence of Kol Nidre. You know, if you didn't understand the theme of Kol Nidre, and a person would simply experience the scene of Kol Nidre, and I were to ask you, what is its essence? Apparently that's the height of Kedusha Sayon, Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofros. And then you read the text of Kol Nidre, and you find out, almost in a somewhat disappointing fashion, no, this is merely a technical opportunity of undoing, annulling a person's vows. Why is it the Kol Nidre plays such an important role? And I've suggested that perhaps Kol Nidre is indicative of the essence of the Kedusha Siyam of Yom HaKippurim. a person takes upon himself a neder, a shvua, nezirus, a kinui, charamim, whatever the case would be, and a person violates that neder, a person is afforded a possibility of tshuva, no doubt, mikan al haba, from now on, I will determine that I'll no longer follow in that way. But hataras nedarim is much more than that. A person can engage in heter chacham, which means that the chacham is oker es haneder me'ikara, and the result is that that was not the violation at all. A pesach or charata to indicate that, you know, had I only known the difficulty in fulfillment of the neder, I never would have done so. And the neder is annulled retroactively. That's the theme of tshuva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us not just simply to make amends from here on end, and what is done is already done, but rather Kol Nidre teaches what is true in a technical sense of Hataras Nedarim, that the Chacham Oker Esrei Meikara is true when it comes to elements of Aveira in general. So tshuva, no doubt, is a gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, a wondrous privilege. To what extent, however, is tshuva considered to be a mitzvah? The Ramban writes that tshuva is a mitzvah in HaTorah. Its source, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha. The Menchasinach writes in Shin Samach Dalet that he thinks that this is against the Shitas HaRambam. Seems to be a very difficult view of Menchasinach, where Menchasinach comments that according to the Rambam's view, tshuva perhaps is not a mitzvah, but rather it is what the Torah gives us as an option, as mentioned, a schus, a privilege. That pasuk of Vishavtat Hashem Elokecha, the Rambam does not cite that at all in the reference of an obligation of tshuva. The Rambam writes, Perek Zayin Etochos Tshuva, that we have a havtacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shesofo Yisrael Lasos Tshuva. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Bnei Yisrael will do tshuva. Shenemer, as the Rambam writes, Vishavtat Ad Hashem Elokecha. Shavtat Hashem Elokecha, a mitzvah or a havtacha? The Ramban writes a mitzvah, the Rambam writes it's a promise, but not necessarily the basis of a mitzvah. Even further, ki ha-mitzvah zos ha-shanochi metzav eskan hayom, lo nifleis, imichov d'rachol kahi. It is not something which is distant from you. Rather, b'ficha ulvavcha la-sosa. When the Torah tells us ki ha-mitzvah hazos, what mitzvah is it referring to? The Ramban writes, the mitzvah of tshuva. In fact, when the pasuk concludes b'ficha u'levavcha, it's referring to two different elements of tshuva. B'ficha means vidui, which is necessary. Vidui varim. B'levavcha means the tshuva salev, an emotive response. The Ramban writes the mitzvah of tshuva, but the Rambam disagrees. That pasuk of ki ha-mitzvah hazos is not a reference to a mitzvah of tshuva. What is it referring to? Well, the Gemara Erevin tells us in Daf Nun Hey, it's a reference to Talmud Torah. After all, the known pasuk of Lo Bashamayim, not necessarily a reference to tshuva, but rather Torah Sashem, Limud HaTorah is not something which is removed from an individual, but rather it is immediately accessible. That's the pasuk of Lo Bashamayim. There's a fascinating chiddush that the Rambam writes in Igeres Teiman, where the Rambam uses that pasuk to teach us a very different halacha. We know there's a concept of Ein Navi Rishai V'Chadesh Davar. If a Navi comes and he tells you that there is a new mitzvah that I have discovered, that's a clear indicator that this person is a Navi Sheker. How do you know this is true? The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Eila HaDvarim. These are the mitzvahs Hashem. Ein Navi Rishai V'Chadesh Davar. The Rambam in the Geras Teiman cites that pasuk, Ki HaMitzvah Hazos. Mitzvah Zos is a reference to Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, this Torah is not Min HaShamayim. I have given you the body of Taryag Mitzvos. I have given you Kol HaTorah Kula. And if someone will come and say there is an additional mitzvah, there are Navi Sheker, because after all of the Torah Hashem was given to you. It is something which is Beficha Ulevavcha Lasosa. So the Ramban writes, V'shavta Hashem Lokecha, Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, a reference to Tshuva. But the Rambam assumes that no. The Pasuk is referring to Torah. The Pasuk of V'shavta Hashem Lokecha is a havtacha. Does that mean that there's no mitzvah of tshuva? This is the chiddush of Minchas Chinuch according to the Rambam Shita. When the Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, the Rambam writes, Keshiyase tshuva v'yashuv micheto, chayiv lihizvadas. When a person will perform tshuva, if a person takes advantage of that opportunity, chayiv lihizvados, he's obligated to engage in vidui. And Chassino suggests a very difficult split, that perhaps according to the Rambam's view, tshuva is an option, but the mitzvah is one of vidui, a very difficult chiddush that Minchas Sinach writes. After all, we normally feel that no, that vidui is an element, but the essence of the mitzvah, of course, is one of tshuva. This is a suggestion of Minchas Sinach. The Rambam does not tell us explicitly one is obligated to do tshuva, but the Rambam couches it in the language kishia shetzuva v'yosu mecheta chayv lihifados lifnei hakel baruch hu. If a person opts to do tshuva, he's obligated to do vidui. As mentioned, hard to imagine that there's mitzvah, that there's no obligation of tshuva. And to argue that vidui, which is a detail within this broader scope, is the mitzvah, and tshuva is not, is a difficult concept. Even if you look in the Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam tells us he's about to discuss the mitzvah of tshuva, and the Rambam is explicit that the mitzvah is Shiyashiv hachote mecheto. The person is obligated to do tshuva. It's explicit in the Rambam. Before the Rambam even begins Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, that in fact there is a mitzvah of tshuva. There's an interesting chiddush that Meshech Chachma writes in Parshas Nitzavim, that what is the mitzvah of tshuva? Meshech Chachma writes, perhaps according to the Rambam, there is no independent mitzvah of tshuva, but the Meshech Chachma suggests that tshuva is part of all of the mitzvahs Hashem. The Torah commanded us, for example, to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. And therefore the Torah demands our performance. And what if a person failed to do so? A given day a person didn't put on tefillin? On Pesach a person didn't eat matzah? For fallen? No, there's still an opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah. Ayidei tshuva, zedonos, nase kizuchuyos. And therefore Meshech Chachma writes a beautiful chiddush that perhaps each mitzvah independently demands fulfillment and therefore demands tshuva. The first here obviously is to fulfill the mitzvah, avoid the areva, but even if b'di'eved that was not done, now there's an opportunity of tshuva. Meshech Chachma suggests that perhaps according to the Rambam's view, each mitzvah in and of itself contains an element of tshuva, not independently, but rather that is the very basic demand of the mitzvah. Either to perform the mitzvah, of course, ideally, if b'di'eved a person did not, the opportunity to do tshuva and zedonos nase kizuchuyos. An interesting chiddush. As you know, Rav Slavetchik would often comment that now, according to the Rambam Shita, as we mentioned in Tekiah Shofar, a split between maisa ha-mitzvah, kiyum ha-mitzvah, the same thing is true when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva. The essence of the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, that is v'shavta l'Hashem Elokecha, that is the mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam stresses vidui, because vidui is maisa ha-mitzvah. That is an inherent part of kapara. In fact, according to the Rambam's view, that vidui is absolutely necessary in order to secure kapara. It could very well be, according to the Ramban, that's not true. The Ramban writes there's a mitzvah of tshuva, and vidui is gleaned from b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'asasa. One of the details of tshuva is the need for vidui. One could raise the issue, according to the Ramban, is vidui absolutely vital? Is it ma'akev b'di'eved? The Ramban is not explicit. But the Rambam is clear that part of the ma'isa ha-mitzvah of tshuva is that that entails that element of vidui. And vidui is absolutely critical, according to the Rambam's view. The following difficulty, however. According to the Rambam, tshuva certainly is the kiyum ha-mitzvah, but ma'isa mitzvah is vidui. And vidui is something which is absolutely critical. Without that, there is no possibility of kapara. Many of the Achronim are bothered by the following. There is a Mishnah in Kedushin, a Daf Mem Tes, that tells us the following. A person is mekadesh nisha, that hareyat mekudeshesli, amnash si tzadik. A person marries a woman based on the condition that the individual is a tzadik. And v'nimtza rasha gamur, and it turns out that was not the case at all. I would say the Kedushin is absolutely nothing. No, the Mishnah tells us, choshishin the Kedushin, one has to be concerned that maybe they are married. Why? Because shema hear her tshuva libo. Because maybe the person had here hurei tshuva, and therefore he's considered to be a tzaddik. We have to be concerned, choshishin the Kedushin, shema hear her tshuva libo. The difficulty is the following, is that enough? Hear her tshuva libo. The Rambam writes that tshuva requires much more than that. Vidui is necessary. Vidui dvarim is necessary. How can it be, after all, that the Mishnah simply tells us that Shema hear her tshuva b'libo? Is that really considered to be sufficient? And one could raise this issue not only according to the view of the Rambam, one could raise the issue even generally. The Mishnah tells us, for example, that there are dalet chiluke kapara, the various gradations of kapara. If a person, for example, fails to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, the Mishnah tells us in Yuma that eino zoz misham ad shemochlino. So tshuv is considered to be sufficient. What happens if a person violates an avera chamura, ilav, or a chiyuv kares, or a chiyuv misa? So the Mishnah tells us tshuv is necessary, but tshuv is not sufficient. That requires at times Yom Kippur, Yisurim, Mises Mechaperes. So how is it that the Mishnah tells us that if you're dealing with a Rasha Gomor, you have to be concerned, Shema, Hirher, Tshuva, Belibo? Is that considered to be sufficient? And what about all the Dalet Chiluke Kapara? Tshuv is necessary. That Hirher, Tshuva, Belibo, is that all that the Torah requires? What about Vidui? What about Yom Kippur? What about other elements of Tshuva as well? Perhaps the answer is rooted in the following. Rastavetsha could often comment that when a person commits a chait, there is a twofold response. There is a twofold effect. Number one, that a chait is mechayiv. It creates an indebtedness that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in addition to that, the Rambam stresses, especially Perek Zayin of Hilchos Teshuva, that chait is metame. Aside from the fact that there is something owed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather the person is not the same individual as he was before. And in turn, the Rav argued that tshuva has two very different elements. We recite on Yom Kippur the pasuk Ki vayom hazeh yichaper leichem letahareschem. The Torah speaks about kapara, but the Torah also speaks of tahara. This corresponds, the Rav argued, to the two elements of chait. Chait is mechayev, chait is mitameh. The response tshuva, on one level, tshuva is mechaperes. It has to somehow address that indebtedness. But even above and beyond that, tshuva has to result in a sense of tahara. And these two halachos, kapara tahara, do not necessarily go hand in hand. Perhaps one could envision kapara without tahara, and perhaps even the opposite. A person could envision tahara even without kapara. Chet has two consequences, chiyuv as well as tuma, and the response of tshuva is lechaper eschem, litar eschem, mikol chatos seichem. Where in fact do you see that this is true? Rav Soloveitchik would often cite the view of Rebbe. The Gemara tells us a great chiddush according to Rebbe, that itzumo shel mechaper leshavim v'she'eino shavim. Rebbe writes that the potency of Yom HaKippurim is that can secure kapara, even for an individual who is not chozer b'tshuva. Itzumo shayom mechaper. That's the chiddush that Rebbe discusses. That Tosfos is even bothered. The Gemara discusses this in Shavuos as well. How is it possible for a person to be chayiv kares if a person violates Yom HaKippurim, if itzumo shayom is in fact mechaper? The Rebbe asked a simple question. A person is a balaveri, he's posel edus. And all of a sudden now Yom Kippur comes, there's no tshuva whatsoever. Now everyone is koshel edus. The person is altered inherently as a result of Yom HaKippurim, even without tshuva. The Rav responded and said, no, the itzumo shayom, according to Rebbe, mechaper, but yet it is not mitaher. There are two different elements that chet possesses. So on one level, there's an indebtedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, right, a person is considered to be in a different state, kodam hachet and la'achar hachet. Rebbe writes it's true. On a certain level, itzumo shayom is mechaper, but tahara requires a higher standard. In fact, perhaps this is what is unique when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Yon explains that there's a mitzvah of tshuva each and every day of the year, b'shavta Hashem Elokecha. But yet, there is a special mitzvah of tshuva on Yom HaKippurim based on the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Yom Kippur demands a full sense of tahara. And we know that tahara requires a complete immersion. That's the mashal that Rabbi Akiva gives us, the pasuk of Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Just as when it comes to one who is tova b'mikveh, there's no possibility of an element of chatzitza. The tefillah cannot be a partial tefillah, but rather the tefillah must be one in its totality. The same is true when it comes to that element of Tara, of the Fnei Hashem Titaru. It is possible to envision Kapara without the element of Tara. Tara requires, as the Rambam describes in Perek Zayin of Chuva, more than simply a person who decides that he'll avoid Avera. The Rambam writes, Tshuva can be addressed on two elements, from Avera, but also from Midos Raos. In terms of a person's demeanor, a person's attitude, a person's behavior, that the Rambam writes addresses the element not necessarily of Kapara, but an element of Tahara. Two critical points of Yom Kippur. On the one hand, Chet is Mechayiv, Chet is Metame, and the response of Yom HaKippurim is not only the Chapres, but also to result in Tahara as well. It's interesting, the Rambam discusses these two elements in very different contexts. In Perek Aleph Halach Aleph Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam begins with the technical sense of Teshuva in Vidui. And there the Rambam stresses an element of Kapara. In Perek Zayin Hilchos Teshuva, there the Rambam describes the effect, the splendor, the Tiferes HaTshuva, the impact that Teshuva has on the individual, that the person now is considered to be Ahuv, the person is now a Yedid, the person is beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way as a result of the performance of Tshuva. There the Rambam does not mention Vidui at all. The Rambam mentions Vidui in Perek Aleph, but not in Perek Zayin, when the Rambam discusses the Tiferes HaTshuva in the sense of Tahara. Even here, Rav Ashawai suggested a following Chiddush, that Vidui is necessary according to the Rambam, it's necessary in terms of Kapara. However, Tahara, that can be attained even at times without full Vidui. That is just simply Lifnei Hashem Titaru. And perhaps this is the resolution to that difficulty. If you want to determine whether a person Sadik or Rasha, it is possible to attain Tahara perhaps even without that element of Kapara. Let's assume, for example, that you lend money to an individual and he's unable to pay back that debt. The money, no doubt, is owed. But there certainly would be a difference in terms of his response. If somehow that he will deny the fact that he owes me money, and he will require that I have to take him to court and to subpoena him and exact every penny, certainly aside from the fact that he owes me that money, I will look upon him in a very different way. Whereas if he came to me in advance and said to me, you know, I have a certain difficulty, I'll do everything that I can in order to see to it that that loan is paid, but right now I'm going through a particular difficulty. Is the money owed in both cases? Absolutely yes. There is a chiyuv, but yet there's a world of difference in terms of the character of individual A as opposed to that second individual who is willing to admit that there still is a sense of indebtedness. That's the difference between elements of Kapara and that sense of Tara. Tara requires Tara Sanefesh, and that's what the Mishnah tells us, that at times even that can be accomplished in a moment if Hir Her Tshuva Beliba, that alone is considered to be sufficient. These are differences of different levels of tshuva. We center around elements of kapara and vidui, that certainly is true, but one cannot negate that element of lifnei Hashem titaru. That is considered to be the essence of tshuva, the very essence of the Kedushas Hayom of Yom HaKippurim. These two elements, the technical sense of kapara, but also the tara sa'adam, tara sa'nefesh, perhaps is also clear in the statement of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish tells us, Niman Da Peivav, that Zudonos Nase Kishagonos. What is the greatness of tshuva? A person can violate the Navera B'mezid, and somehow it is viewed as though it was done B'shogeg. Where do you see this is true? Reish Lakish quotes the pasuk from Shavah Shuva, Shuva Yisrael An Hashem Elokecha, Ki Choshalta Ba'avonecha. A difficulty in that term, choshalta va'avonecha. Choshalta seems to indicate a person stumbled, he tripped, not maliciously, but did so inadvertently. What's the difficulty? Avonecha, avon, is an aver that's violated, demezid. That terminology, choshalta va'avonecha, somehow an avon, a chet b'mezid, is viewed as a michshel, an aver b'shogeg. How can that be? That's the chiddush of Reish Lakish, that gedola tshuva, zedonos nase kishagogos. But yet Reish Lakish also said that no, gedola tshuva, shezedonos nase kizechuyos. There are times that it's possible for an avera to be transformed into a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, isn't that a somewhat of a stira? That on the one hand, the potency of tshuva is to allow an avera b'mezid to be viewed as that it was b'shogei, but yet the second dictum of Reish Lakish that says an avera can be converted, transformed into a mitzvah. And the Gemara answers that kan meira and kan meyava. What is the motivation of that tshuva? If it's a tshuva meira, that also can accomplish worlds, but it's limited in the sense of zdonos nase kishgagos. If, however, it's a tshuva meyava, a person is not doing so merely because of a sense of fear, but rather as an opportunity, a vehicle to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is considered to be a tshuva which is me'ava, then we assume that zedonos nase kizuchuyos is considered to be a mitzvah. It's interesting, the Marsha raises the following question, that if the Gemara wanted to demonstrate that this in fact is true, what about the following? You know, this difference in tshuva. The Gemara says that minayin the tshuva shemagasa ad kisei hakavod. How do you know that tshuva reaches the throne kaviyachal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara tells us in Yuma Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. The Pasuk doesn't say that Shuva Yisrael el Hashem Elokecha, toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ad Hashem Elokecha. Ad, the Gemara's Dorish, indicates that your tshuva reaches the kisei hakavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shuva is magasa kisei hakavod. Marsha raises an interesting question. If the Gemara wanted to be Doresh, Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, as opposed to El Hashem Elokecha, it's necessary to cite the pasuk of the Haftarah Shah B'Shuva. And what about that Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha? The past Shabbos is Kriya Satorah. The term ad is already used. Why is it the Gemara cites the pasuk Midivrei Navi? Why not the pasuk in the Chumash itself of Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha? And perhaps this is exactly the point that the Gemara stresses. The Gemara tells us that Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha is only the first level of tshuva. That's ki choshalta bavonecha. That's what Reish Lakish says is referring to a tshuva not me'ava, but rather a tshuva me'ira. Zedonos nase kishagagos. In Parshas Nitzavim, that v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, there the Torah is referring to a very different type of tshuva. A person who engages in tshuva because uledafkabo uvacharta v'chayim. That's a tshuva me'ava. The chiddush of the Gemara is the following, that even tshuva which is me'ira, even tshuva which is donos nase kishkagos, even that is magasa kisei hakavod, that you see from the pasuk midivrei Navi of Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. And these are two models that the Torah gives us of tshuva. Tshuva which is mira, just simply fear of consequence, but tshuva meyava. Perhaps these two levels of tshuva in that sense parallel the sense of kapara and that of tara. Tshuva meyira, that can secure kapara. It's true that the slate is wiped clean, but yet, full tara, that requires v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha uledafkama, a person who yearns to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is considered to be the highest level of tshuva, but that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords us at this particular time. We discussed in earlier shiurim a difficulty that the Rosh comments in the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur considered to be Yimei Hadin, and yet there's a mitzvah of simcha even on these days as well. The Gemara explains you don't recite Hallel, Sifrechem, Meisim, Psuchim, Lefanai. When the Rambam quotes that halacha, Peregim, Lefofes, Chanukah, the Rambam does not tell us that that's because these days are void of simcha, but rather the Rambam writes it's balanced. Enyam Yemei, Simcha Yaseira. The Rambam writes there's a tempered simcha. On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is considered to be a yantif. When the Mishnah Maseches Tainis tells us great days of Simcha Yisrael, Yom Kippur is cited as a model of Simcha. And yet at the same time it's considered to be the ultimate time of a Yom Hadin. How is that possible? How is it that we can balance and fuse that element of Simcha and Din? And the answer is these different elements of Tshuva. When you look at the sense of Tshuva which is purely Meira, no doubt, that invokes a sense of Yamim Noraim. That's considered to be a fearful experience. As the Truma Sadeshin writes, that Yeshom Shem Mitzvah Yisanos, some will in fact fast on the day of Rosh Hashanah. But the Mechaber begins Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. A person is obligated to eat and drink and to be besimcha, to experience simcha bedin. How is that possible? If a person just assesses the experience of tshuva as tshuva meira, it seems to evoke merely a sense of din, a sense of awe, a sense of fear. If a person looks at the opportunity of tshuva and vidui as lifnei Hashem titaru, an opportunity of zedonos nase kizuchuyos, an opportunity to be able to uledavkaba, cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we view these days not simply as fearful experiences, but rather we embrace the opportunity for tshuva of being closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've discussed in many shiurim the concept of Tosefes Shabbos. What is its source? Yom HaKippurim. As the Gemara tells us in Daf Pei Aleph in Yuma, it's striking that the Torah tells us the mitzvah of Tosefes in the context of Yom Kippur. I understand the person embraces Shabbos, embraces Yontif. It's a Kedusha Sayom that one anticipates, that one awaits, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us the opportunity to begin Shabbos early, there's a mitzvah to do so. We assume as Magen Avraham Aitzah, mitzvah daraisa. But the source of the mitzvah of Tosefes that everyone agrees is min haTorah, even those Rishonim that assume that Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif is only derabanan. But the Gemara is explicit, Yom Daf Pei Aleph and Beitzan Daf Lamed, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, a mitzvah daraisa. The model of Tosefes is the experience of Yom HaKippurim. We anticipate. If we have an opportunity to usher in the Kedushas Hayom at an earlier time, we're obligated to do so. And if we have an opportunity to prolong Yom HaKippurim, a mitzvah daraisa, to do so as well. On the one hand, consider it to be Yom HaDin. On the other hand, we're obligated to embrace the Kedushas Hayom of Yom HaKippurim in such a way that we begin Yom Kippur early, we extend Yom Kippur into the night, because we want to hang on to those moments of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. And as the Gemara tells us in Erev and Daf Mem, we begin Yom HaKippurim with the bracha of Shechiyonu. Shechiyonu, I understand, and Kedushas Yom of Yontif. Tosfos comments in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, Shechiyonu is only on elements of Simcha. Tosfos writes, you don't recite a Shechiyonu Bris Mila because of Tzar Linukah. It's a great Simcha to have a Bris. But there's an element of discomfort, an element of Tzar, and therefore no bracha of Shechiyonu. But yet, a bracha of Shechiyonu, not on a Kiddush, not on Halakas Aneros, Shechiyonu purely on Kedushas Hayom of Yom HaKippurim, of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. The Torah tells us a poignant lesson, that one has to prepare adequately for Yom HaKippurim, but realize that this is unique opportunity Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, an opportunity for not only Kapara, an opportunity for Tahara, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's separate mitzvah of tshuva and Yom HaKippurim, this pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. And this is what we embrace at this particular time. No doubt that that experience requires intense hachana. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter commented that, you know, perhaps logically, it would make sense to have Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah. After all, if you know that there's a time of a Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, and there's a moment of Slicha Mechila Kapara, so therefore, shouldn't it be, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter commented, that first undergo the experience of Slicha Mechila Kapara, and then enter into the din, Zakayin Achayim. But yet the Torah mandates that first the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, and afterwards Slicha Mechila Kapara. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explained the following. The experience of Yom HaKippurim requires intense hachana. A person cannot experience the Kedushas Hayom of Lifnei Hashem Titaru simply yesh miayin. And that is why the Torah insists that it must be preceded by Rosh Hashanah. If there wasn't a Yom HaDin prior to the period of Yom Kippur, if we didn't undergo Chodesh Elul, we didn't experience Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, if we didn't experience Rosh Hashanah, where Sifrei Chayim Esim Psuchim Lefanai, we wouldn't be adequately prepared for the experience of Yom HaKippurim. And therefore the Torah tells us that there's an experience of din. But even the aftermath of din of Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity. Fnei Hashem titaru, zdonos nasa kizuchuyos. And therefore, that is why the order is as such. That a person could realize the seriousness of the day and yet embrace the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom HaKippurim as an opportunity for a sense of great simcha. We pointed out, for example, the Machlokas Tosfos in the Rambam. Simchas Yantiv. Is that Midaraisa Bizman Hazeh? Is that not? Tosfos writes, Ma'ikotin Daf Yedaled, you can't experience Simchas Yantiv Bizman Hazeh. After all, simcha requires Beis HaMikdash. Simcha requires Aliyah LeRegel. Simcha demands Hakravas HaKorbanos. V'zavachta Shlomo V'achalta Shom. V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. The Gemara tells us in Sachem Daf Kuftes. The uniqueness of Yom Kippur is the following. That Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Avod on Yom HaKippurim plays a critical role. But yet Rabbi Akiva, even in the time of the Churban HaBayis, was able to teach us that one can experience the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom HaKippurim without Avodah, without Beis HaMikdash, without Aliyah LeRegel, because Lifnei Hashem Titaru, that the essence of Simcha is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An Yantif that requires Tosfos comments, that we're all LeRegel, that we go to Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis Hashem. The Chiddush of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim is one can attain that level of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, even Tara, even in Golos, even aside from Beis HaMikdash, even without elements of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, simply because of Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatza. As the Gemara tells us, at this time of year, Kadosh Baruch Hu waits, anticipates our opportunity for tshuva. There's a fascinating kasha that the Tosfos Yeshanim raises in Yuman Daf Pei Zayin. This shita of Rebbe that tells us that Itzumo Shoyom is Mechaper, even if a person doesn't do tshuva, Kapara is in fact attained. Tosfos Yeshanim writes a very profound, but a simple kasha. If that's true, Itzumo Shoyom is Mechaper, how do you understand the Churban HaBayis? That's the kasha of the Tosfos Yeshanim. After all, the Tosfos Yeshanim assumed that the Beis HaMikdash could not have been destroyed for limited chataim post Yom Kippur, right, prior to the time of Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. The Tosfos Yeshanim assumed simply that it must have been a prolonged window of Avera that caused the Churban HaBayis. And if every year Itzumo Shiyom Mechaper, how is it possible that we experience a Churban HaBayis? The answer perhaps is exactly this distinction, the distinction between Kapara versus that of Tara. Rebbe Shita's Itzumo Shoyom is Mechaper. That's true. But why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The Gemara tells us, for example, Averos HaChamuros. Or the Gemara tells us, Yom HaKippur Sinas Chinam caused the Churban HaBayis. What exactly does that mean? Was that an onesh? As a result of certain Averos, there is an onesh, and that is that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Perhaps one could suggest the following, that the Churban HaBayis was not a direct onesh for the particular Avera, but rather, the Churban HaBayis simply was a consequence of the response and the behavior of Knesset Yisrael. What is the purpose of Beis HaMikdash? The Ramban tells us in Parshas Truma, its purpose is to replicate the moment of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah was unique in a twofold sense. Number one, Hashras Hashchina. It was a time that everyone perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, it was a moment of Achdus of all of Knesset Yisrael. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar, Ish Echad, B'Lev Echad. That is the purpose of Beis HaMikdash. Hashras Hashchina, and to unite all of Knesset Yisrael. If this is not the case, if, for example, there is Sinas Chinam, it's not that the onesh of Sinas Chinam is what caused the Churban HaBayis as much as the whole essence and purpose of Beis HaMikdash is being defeated. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to be a place of Hashras HaShchina. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to create that sense of unity of all of Knesset Yisrael. If that is not the reality, then Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the Beis Hamikdash loses its purpose, loses its focus, not necessarily because of Aveira, but rather because of the failure of Knesset Yisrael to appreciate and to respond to what the Churban HaBayis means and what Beis Hamikdash is supposed to represent. It may very well be that on a minimal level, Itzumo Shayom Mechape, but yet, Itzumo Shayom is not Mitahe. That Tara requires the response of all of Knesset Yisrael. It may very well be that the Tekiya Shofar is Ma'or Rachmei Shamayim, but yet it also requires the Shmiya Sokol, as the Rambam tells us that Ur Yeshenim Mishenastem. The Gemara tells us of the difficulty that we have in being able to articulate every element that is required for tshuva. And the Gemara tells us that one of the reasons of Tekiya Shofar, one of its essence, its purpose, is to be Ma'or Rachmei Shamayim. I had mentioned last week the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tezayin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us the Tikul Lefanai B'Shofar She'ayil Kedei She'ezkor HaKedos Yitzchak Ben Avram U'mal Aleichem Kila Katem Es Atzmechem. Sound the Shofar. That will be Ma'or Rachmei Shamayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it will be viewed as though that you have offered yourselves on the Mizbeach Hashem. That's the secret. In the Siddur HaRashash, Rashash writes the following, that if a person has proper Hurei Tshuva during the time of Tkiya Shofar, that is Mechaper even for Averos HaChamuros, even Chayvei Krisos, even Chayvei Misos. And the simple understanding of that Rashash is exactly what the Gemara tells us. The essence of Tkiya Shofar, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, that Malani Aleichem Kilo Akadtem Esatzmechem. Sincere Tekiya Shofar is as though you have offered yourselves Al Gabe HaMizbeach. In fact, the Torah explains that this is the essence of Slichos. You know that the Ran in Perek Aleph of Rosh Hashanah cites three different minhagim when it comes to Slichos. When do you begin reciting Slichos? One possibility in the Gaonim is Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, when we, the Ashkenazim, begin sounding the shofar, many of the Sfarim already begin reciting Slichos. Tosus comments in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Beis, that if the Luchos Shnios were given to us on Yom HaKippurim, and that was followed, at that period of time, there were 40 days of Slichu Mechira of Moshe Rabbeinu before the Luchos Shnios were given, so therefore we know that the 40-day period prior to Yom HaKippurim is an Eis Ratzon, it's a time of Rachamei Shamayim, and therefore we have Tekiya Shofar, and many, as mentioned, find this view of the Gaon recite Slichos at that particular period. And then a second minute that the Ran quotes, and that is recitation of Slichos during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimotzo. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us during that time, reflecting a certain closeness that doesn't necessarily exist at other times as easily, therefore take advantage, the period of Slichos. And then the Ran quotes a third minhag of Chochmei Barcelona, a view of the Gaonim, that they would begin reciting Slichos on Chofei Elul. Why is that true? What's so significant about Chofei Elul? So here the Ran explains the following. Rabbi Eliezer tells us that the Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei. And this is what we commemorate during Rosh Hashanah as well. Hayom Haras Olam. So therefore, the world was created. The Ran writes, when we say the world was created, what exactly referring to? Not the beginning of Bria Shamayim Varetz, but rather the creation of Adam HaRishon. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah. But the actual beginning of Bria Shamayim Varetz, great Chasdei Hashem, Rachamei Shamayim, was on Chofei Elul, and that is the moment that we begin reciting Slichos. The Vilna Gaon writes, in Tavkuf Pei Aleph, that is our practice, based on this view of the Gaonim. The Gaon just adds the following, that Chazal did not want to use a calendar date that would vary from year to year. Rather, they picked, right, a particular date, namely the day of Motzei Shabbos, and therefore we always begin Motzei Shabbos, but it's rooted in that sheet of the Gaonim, that already at least several days before Rosh Hashanah, the need to begin reciting Slichos. And the Shulchan Aruch writes the following, that according to this minhag of the Ramah, it depends when Rosh Hashanah begins. If Rosh Hashanah would be at the very beginning of the week, then you have to have an earlier week of Slichos. If, for example, as this year, Rosh Hashanah is toward the end of the week, therefore Motzei Shabbos is considered to be sufficient, because after all, it's necessary to have at least several days, 4 days of slichos prior to Rosh Hashanah. Why is that true? Where does that come from, the need to have that minimal sequence of days before Rosh Hashanah? The Torah explains, and this is what the Or elaborates, la'alocha, it's based on the following. A person offers a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person doesn't simply designate an animal and on that day offer it as a carbon. It requires a sense of bikur mumim. It requires inspection. Every day the person goes that animal to make sure that this can properly be offered as a carbon to Hashem. And the Torah explains that this is true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah as well. Rosh Hashanah is the time, as the Gemara tells us in the Zayim, ki'ilu akadtem es atzmechem. It's as though that we are offering ourselves as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not done with such a sense of immediacy, without prior hachana, without proper preparation. If you're obligated to engage in bikur mumim, when it comes to a mum shebeguf, a physical blemish, how much more so is this true when it comes to a sense of bikur mumim regarding a mum of the nefesh as well. And therefore, prior to Rosh Hashanah, it's necessary to engage in this process of introspection. And therefore, this is the very essence, the purpose of Tkiyah Shofar, the purpose of Slichos, because the difficult avoda that Yom HaRayim contains is this element of Dirshu Hashem Behimatza, a sense of seeking out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there waiting for efforts. This is the element of Simcha that applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. At once, it's considered to be Yom HaDin, but simultaneously, a day of Simcha, we'll wear our fine clothing, as the Machaber writes, Ochlin Shosim Usmechim, we rejoice at the time of Rosh Hashanah. We have to justify, as the Gemara tells us in Erech and Daf Yud, why it is that we don't recite Hallel. Whereas the Mishnah tells us, Rachman Latzon, a person is an Avel, we know the onset of Rosh Hashanah will sever Avelos. Why? Because Tosus explains Simcha and Avelos can't coexist. That's the uniqueness of our experience of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. It's necessary to balance both of these elements, to realize the seriousness of the call to tshuva, but at the same time, a person has to do so with that element of Simcha. And this is what the Ramban of Sadigun explains. This is the relationship between the Tkiyah and the Shvarim Tshuva regarding the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. Tkiyah always is reminiscent of a great sense of Simcha. This is what we speak about in Shofros. Atal Iglesa, Gili Shchina, that's Tkiyas HaShofar. But yet, Shvar Mutru is Yom Yevavi Eilechon. It's a time of Bechi, it's a time of crying. And since people cry in different ways, Gnuchi Gonach, Yilu Yalil, so therefore, it is necessary to blow a Shvarim, to blow a Trua, always to combine the two elements of the Kedusha Sayom. So the Gemara tells us the interesting point, that you can never just blow a Shvarim in a Trua alone. Shvarim and Trua must always be surrounded on either end by the Kol V'Tkiyah. It means that the Kedusha Sayom begins with the time of Simcha, as Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim continues, elements of Shvarim and Trua, Yom Yevav Yelachon, but yet the climax is always followed by that Tkiyah, the Tkiyah Gedola, immense Simcha that one experiences at this particular time. And Chassinach writes in Shin Samach Dalet, the great Chiddush, that even though the Gemara tells us that sometimes tshuva is not enough, Dalet Chiluke Kapara, Yom HaKippurim, Yisurim, Mises Mechaperes, and Chassinach suggests this is only tshuva meira. But if a person is able to experience a tshuva me'ava, reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply because of love of Hashem, if one does so, then there are no chiluki kapara at all. Then tshuva is considered to be that which is immediate. That is the power of tshuva me'ava. And there is Yerushalmi. In Perek Beis of Makos, this seems to indicate this is true. Yerushalmi tells us a beautiful chiddush that Shalul Nevi'im, the Nevi'im were asked that chote mayonsha, what is the onesh for a person who commits a chet? The Navi answers, Hanefesh hachotasi tamus, misa, shola kadosh baruch hu. What is the onesh? What is the effect? What will the result, the outcome be of a person who commits an avera, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers, Yasa tshuva v'yichapela tshuva. We're not speaking about fill to fill mitzvahs asay. We're speaking about the averos hachamuros that the Navi will say it warrants a chiyuv misa. And yet, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us that tshuva is considered to be sufficient. What about all elements of chiluki kapara? Perhaps this is what the Minchas Chinuch writes, that no, tshuva me'ava can secure kapara even without chiluki kapara. This is the opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us on Yom HaKippurim of Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. That lesson of Mikveh tells us the following, that just as mentioned, when one immerses himself in Mikveh, it can't be something which is done in an incomplete sense. There can't be an element of Chatzitza. I've often commented when it comes to Mikveh, you can't even have stagnant Mayim Shuvim. That's true when it comes to the tshuva process as well. It's necessary that it be a vital experience that is sincere and full of life and full of kavana in order to elicit the proper sense of a tshuva mi'ava. And you know, when it comes to mikveh, you know, there's a concept of hamshacha, a concept of hashaka as well. Let's assume, for example, you have mayim which is tamei. And the mayim which is tamei merely comes in contact with the main mikveh, that branches all of it is being tahar. Sometimes all that is necessary is mere contact in order to secure that sense of full slich mechila u'kapara. We always recite in Yom HaKippurim, right? We beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of Avinu Malkeinu. We relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two very different ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech. In common sense terms, not dealing with Kadosh Baruch Hu, but dealing with Vasa Vedam, it almost seems that these two concepts are contradictory. They're at odds. We don't relate to an Av the same we relate to a Melech. An Av invokes a sense of Av. A Melech invokes a sense of reverence in Yira. But yet, we're able simultaneously to relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu Malkeinu. You know, there's a marked difference. If a child will ask a father for something that he needs, in order to provide, it's necessary that a person be willing but also able. If I ask you for something, you have to be willing to accommodate me, but you also have the ability to do so. You know, an Av is always willing. An Av will do anything at all for a child. But sometimes the parent has to acknowledge that this is something that I cannot provide. This is something which is beyond my ability. A Melech is quite different. A Melech is able to provide, but a melech is not always willing to do that which is necessary for a given subject. The uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Malkeinu. Im kebanim im ka'avadim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kol yachol, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is molei rachamim, in the sense that we can seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The seech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is willing and able to accommodate everything that we need, even with the minimal efforts of tshuva, even if it's not a tshuva mi'ava, but it's mentioned that tshuva Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha, even if, ki chashalta ba'avonecha. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I often mention to you the link of that parsha of Ritzi, of the piercing of the ear, that that's an eved who serves as adon nachmas ava. This is not true of Basar Vadam, this is only true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In our service of Hashem, there's no contradiction of Av and Yira. There's no contradiction of being an Eved and being a Ben. There's no contradiction at all of Avinu Malkeinu. And this is what we try to take advantage of during the time of Yom HaKippurim. To be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, to embrace the Kedushas Hayom, to recite the Bracha of Shechianu, to wear a Begad that is reminiscent of Malachi Hashareis, in order to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that we are able, even on a time of din, even in an esara, to experience that sense of simcha. The Rosh, in the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes the Yerushalmi that writes that this is the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael. No other nation can simultaneously experience simcha and din. No other nation of the world can experience a sense of Avinu Malkeinu. But that is the unique relationship we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is that true? The Rush explains, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises us, he relates to us not simply with Midas Hadin, but rather with the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. If Yom Kippur is a time of Rachamei Shamayim, if his Tosus writes, it's an Eitz Ratzon, the Gemara comments, Dir Shu Hashem Bimatzah, a time of Lucho Shnios, a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bishu Yisrael, Shnikru Reishis. So therefore we embrace the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, not as fearful experiences, but rather as an opportunity to be able to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. We begin with a sense of Konidra, telling us that Tshuva is able to defy time. The past is not simply history, but rather Zedonos Naseh Kezuchuyos. We end with a sense of a Tkiyah Shofar, of Malei Simcha. But what is done in between those times, of Konidra and a Tkiyah Shofar, that's the essence of our Kedusha Sayyam. Meshech Chachma quotes the Vilna Gaon that Yom Kippur requires that we engage in what is called a din and also cheshbon. Din and cheshbon, the Vilna Gaon writes, has a dual element. Din means the following. A person commits a particular chet, there's an indebtedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is considered to be, right, the element of din. The concept of cheshbon is very different. Imagine if all of the time and all of the effort that went into that element of chet was used for other purposes. It was used to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was used as a moment to be able to better oneself, be able to spend more time with one's family, to develop that sense of Ava V'Yachva. That is what the sense of Cheshbon is. Every Avera means that there's a twofold sense of accountability. Number one is the Avera itself, but number two is the missed opportunity that could have been used to better oneself, to become closer to others and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the experience of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur requires a sense of din v'cheshbon, not really tshuva, but to take advantage of this opportunity, to be able to look back and say Yom Kippur and honestly say that every moment of the day was utilized in that sense of Yishmei Hashem Titaru. This is the dual experience. Simcha Bedin, the Tkiah, and the Shvarim Utrua, the element of Yom Kippur as being a serious moment of Gzar Din, but also at the same time, a wondrous opportunity of Simcha, Im Kibanim, Im Kavanim, Tshuva Meyava, Tshuva Meyira, but to recognize this is the unique opportunity that we have. Bezras Hashem, during this time of Slichos, during the time of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, we should all be Zochah. So that sense of Rachamei Shamayim, may the ensuing year be a fulfillment of what the Gemara mentions in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph, Shetichla Shana B'Kiloseha, that all tragedy, all Kvala come to an end, ushering in a time of Kula Simcha, B'Hera V'Yamin.
You can keep...
Oh, wow.
Got two CDs in there.